but we'll determine that for sure when we take roll. We'll go ahead and get started with today's full IWA board meeting for Wednesday, August 11th. Our first item of business is called to order. So Cheryl, or if we could take the roll, that would be great.
Ms. Arnold?
I'm here.
Ms. Bright?
Here.
Ms. Compton?
Here.
Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Gibson?
Here.
Mr. Hammond? Mr. Heller?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Here.
Mr. Pichon?
Here.
Mr. Storton?
Here.
And Mr. Burbeau?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Barbara, John Hammond checking in just now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hammond. I have you for roll call.
You got it.
I think that means everybody is here, all 13 board members. All right, thank you. Let's proceed to the Pledge of Allegiance. I will leave that. I think we'll get a flag up. But please join me in saluting our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we're going to proceed to public comment for items not on the agenda. So, Barbara, do we have anybody or the public who would like to make a comment?
At this time, if you wish to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I am not seeing any hands raised for items not on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Then we will proceed to the consent agenda, which consists of the minutes of the last IWMA board meeting and last executive committee meeting. Does anybody have any questions, comments, corrections to make? Okay, seeing none or hearing none, is there any member of the public who would like to comment on the consent agenda?
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make comment on consent items, you may press the raise hand button found on the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I am seeing no hands raised.
Okay, in that case, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
This is Jeff Keith Heller. I move approval of the consent agenda.
Okay. Keith will second.
Okay, motion by Heller, second by Storton. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. Next on the agenda is the Interim Executive Director's Report. I am going to turn the microphone over to Linda Summer-Smith, who's filling in for Jeff Minery as our agency counsel for today.
Recording Linda, in progress.
Linda, could you go ahead and speak?
Sure, thank you. Hello, everyone. This is the first time I've talked with all of you. I am sitting in for Jeff Minery, who is out on leave. I am just announcing that Pablo Ogren notified the board chair this morning that he's chosen to separate from the IWMA. So he will no longer, effective immediately. So he is no longer going to be serving as your interim executive director. Because this arose this morning, you have a couple of options. One option is if you determine by two-thirds vote that that constitutes an emergency, we can add that to the agenda and discuss it, or we can set another meeting down the road or discuss it through the executive committee.
I would like to at least have that option to discuss it here today. I think we could discuss some of the implications of that when we discuss the budget. but I think I'd like to have the option of the full board having a discussion on that, on the implications of that. Do we need a motion to that effect?
You would need a motion to show the two-thirds and declared it an emergency discussion.
Okay, do I have interest from somebody in making such a motion?
This is Jeff Heller. I move that we consider this an emergency and the board discuss it today.
All right. Hammond seconds.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Can we do the is there any discussion on that? Or can we just do a roll call? If nobody has any questions on what that means, I think it's pretty straightforward. Let's go ahead and have a roll call vote.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Ms. Compton. Ms. Compton, yes. You are on mute.
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Compton. Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legge?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. On the agenda item, thank you, everybody. On the agenda item of the Interim Executive Director's Report, he had attached the usual financial stuff, the credit card expenditures and other the other financial expenditures for the month. He had listed as in your packet some of the things he had done that are in terms of orienting himself. Some of the meetings he'd gone to, those things are kind of particularly not may not be relevant now. Patty, do you have anything to add to Interim Executive Director's report?
At this time, I do not, but if anybody has any questions on any of the financials, credit card expenditures, please let me know, and I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, if no one has any questions, then we will move forward to our next agenda item. What I would like to do, because yesterday the Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 to direct their staff to withdraw from the JPA, I was going to suggest that we move item 9, which was a discussion of possible changes to the JPA, under that possible scenario or other scenarios, move that discussion up ahead of item 8, because that discussion would be more likely to have implications on item 8 of discussion of budget than vice versa. So I would like to move item 9 ahead of item 8, unless anybody has an objection.
Charles, I have a question, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I was curious, since we've declared an emergency in discussion as to the interim manager, is that an appropriate discussion first, or I don't know where that falls into the agenda.
Sure. I thought we could also talk about it under budget, because there's a budget implication, but let's ask council, would it be appropriate to discuss that now or save it for later in the agenda?
You can elect either way. It depends. You're adding it to the agenda. So if the understanding was it was added as a primary discussion point, then it would be discussed now.
Okay. It might even bleed into some of these other items, but I'm okay to discuss it now, unless anybody others would prefer to defer this portion of the discussion to later regarding what we do relative to the vacancy of the interim executive director position. No objection, we'll go ahead and begin that discussion. I'll begin with some of my thoughts on it. I think it's unfortunate that Pablo decided to depart. I didn't know him prior to coming here. I thought his background made him particularly qualified to work with us under our circumstances. I certainly gained a respect for him and working with him in that time period, but nonetheless, he has decided to leave after yesterday. And so we have to decide, are we going to try to fill the role of executive director with the new interim person, or are we going to not try that and have Patty try to fulfill that role, and perhaps see what assistance we might offer her in doing that. My thoughts were, obviously, there were some members who criticized the way we handled it previously. I don't agree with that criticism, but I don't think we would want to do that again. Frankly, I don't think we would find a qualified interim person. My own thoughts is that we rely on Patty to do what she can, and that we try to assist her in that. But with that, I'll open it up to discussion. Anybody like to speak? I could see raised hands, or the first person to interrupt can have first crack at it.
Jen Marks. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we do need, well, first of all, I'm shocked to hear that Paavo did this. But I think we do need some expertise, and I feel it might be good to consider doing some kind of abbreviated search to see if we can find someone who would be willing to work with our organization during this difficult and uncertain time. During the next 3 months, we're going to, or however long it takes, we're going to have to negotiate a lot of different issues, many of them unknown, and we're going to need some expertise. At the same time, we're going to need to continue with our responsibility to the public to execute our programs. And I think that to expect anyone to do both jobs right now would be too much pressure, and it probably wouldn't work. So that's one idea would be to open up the position and do an abbreviated search.
Yep. Does anybody have any other comments? Jeff?
Yeah, this is Jeff Heller. Thank you, Mr. Barbeau, and also Jan Marks. I agree with the fact that we probably need somebody here to lead the steer the ship, but I think concurrently we could allow the executive committee to work with Patty to move forward with the issues that have been raised in the agenda item here. Even though Paav has left very suddenly, I really liked his report. I think the major issues that we need to deal with are in today's agenda, and I think that we should proceed discussing them and look to the executive committee for leadership working with Patty Towns going forward, while we can currently look for someone else to step in.
Thank you, Jeff. One of the things that I would offer and why I offer to, or, you know, put forth the possibility that we discuss this later is, you know, there are budgetary implications. We have a substantial budget issue to talk about, and we have this, you know, a substantial change in membership of the JPA issue to discuss. And those might inform a discussion about what we want to do relative to filling the executive director role. And so I think it might be a bit awkward to get too far down the path about how we replace an executive director before we have those discussions about JPA membership and the budget, because I think they might inform and affect our discussion on an interim director. And I assume nobody thinks we're going to go out and find a permanent executive director under these circumstances. So I'm using the phrase interim because I think a permanent one is sort of out of the question at this point in time.
Chair, if I could add one comment, please.
Sure. Sure.
I don't want to spend a ton of time at today's meeting talking about this issue. I agree with what you've said. We need to talk about the other issues and the agenda. But I'm wondering if anyone else has any other ideas besides what's been mentioned so far in the last few minutes.
Anybody else?
Karen Bright here. My only concern is Patty's take on this. If she feels that it's something that she can handle. And so really, I'd just like to know that she's good with this.
It's certainly a fair question. I spoke to Patty very briefly, because I've been here for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Patty, can you, do you want to weigh in on that question?
Great question. I'd be happy to slip into the position. I don't anticipate that it's going to be smooth. I think that we have a great diversity of opinion here on the board, as well as public opinion as well. If you're looking for somebody who has a vast amount of expertise in negotiating this type of thing, I'm sorry, I don't have that. That's the facts. That's the truth. If you're interested in somebody who has enough longevity here to sort of understand the players, I'm in. We have a very dedicated staff here who really are working for the community as a whole. And I think that we could definitely fill in the blank right now, because I don't see, the budgetary issue. It's expensive to hire somebody else. And I really think that we need to, with all due respect, buckle down, get to work, and get this all organized and together and meet our regulatory obligations. And I know we can do it.
Thank you, Patty. Jeff, do you have, still have your hand raised, or is that from?
Yeah, I have one more follow-up comment. I think it's a good question to ask Patty, Director Bright. Thank you for bringing that up. I guess I'd like to ask the executive committee directly if they feel working together, they could possibly steer the ship here for a while.
I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I kind of what I had that as a thought as well. I think there are some issues here that involve might involve discussions between elected officials or us and, you know, senior leaders in other jurisdictions like city managers, et cetera. That's something that perhaps could be done in my mind, unless there's any legal objection to it. But I think the rest of the board would need to be clear that they would want the executive committee to do that. And I only speak for myself in that regard. I don't know how Jen Marks or Robert Enns feel about that, but let's see what Keith Storton has to say. He has his hand raised.
Thank you, Charles. I just wanted to add that certainly we have day-to-day operational functions that need to take place. And I think Patty is more than capable of handling that. Obviously we have some challenges moving forward, but trying to find a permanent director, this is also a great opportunity for somebody to come in while things are challenging and new, where they can help set the course moving forward. If we make too many decisions above and beyond perhaps our capabilities and expertise as a combined entity, we might actually be pushing potential candidates away. I think it could be a challenge for somebody that wants to come in and help make the organization whole. I think we've done a lot of great work over the difficult couple of years that we've had, but we've put in a lot of policies and procedures in place that have increased accountability and transparency. And so I think the day-to-day operational stuff can get taken care of, and we need to get somebody here as soon as possible.
I'd like to just address that. I have to agree. So I've got two jobs. One is being on the San Luis Obispo City Council. I'm also the dean of the local law school. And my expertise is nowhere near Paavo's was in terms of, and, you know, I've been on the board since January. So I personally would feel that it would be a bit much to try to have the executive committee negotiate the whole implosion process that we're evidently going to experience. I think we need professional help on some level. Now, it would, the other thing that I just want to say that's very awkward is that the executive committee of three, we cannot really talk to each other except in executive committee meetings because of the Brown Act, right? So right now we're meeting monthly, but I can't call Charles or Robert up and say, hey, what do you think about this because of the Brown Act, right? So we are constrained in terms of our ability to operate. And I personally am unable to, I mean, it's a full-time job. That's why we hired Paavo. I personally am unable to step into I just don't have the bandwidth to run, to, you know, to be part of the team running this organization for during this transition period. And I would just like to say that it's two shocks in a row, yesterday and now today. But I do think there's potential that the IWMA can emerge from this better, stronger, clearer, and has a great future. So I'm optimistic in general in terms of the organization. But I have to agree with what Keith Storton said. If for lack of time or priorities or expertise, the executive committee ended up doing something that later ended up being a roadblock to a strong, bright future, you know, that would be really, you know, something I'd want to avoid. That's a risk I'd like to avoid. So I'm willing to do my part. I'm just not willing to pretend like this is another full-time job.
You bring up a good, very important point about, you know, executive committee cannot work as a group on these things except in meetings, and therefore that's sort of a not a real viable choice by itself. Dawn.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like everybody's just patience for a second, because I really feel the need to express my deep stress full of feelings of what went down, and that I didn't do a good enough job in representing the cities that are in District 3, and they probably make up the majority of the population in the county when it comes to customers. And I'm sick about it, because I feel like I really failed in talking about the working families and the, you know, I mentioned small business a number of times, but staff and the cities themselves and what this burden means. And so I'm extending apologies to everyone who I represent in District 3 for that. I didn't really realize the nuclear option was going to happen. That said, you know, the process of going through this, we haven't even explained how we're going to then now proceed. So the no process was done. I don't think we were in a situation to really, everything's up in the air. And as Jan said, you know, it's like two shocks at this point. So, in regards to the interim situation, I'm thinking in my head, I mean, we had a CPA we were really lucky, and that is now, you know, somebody run out of town again. And, I feel like, at this point that perhaps a joint committee of industry, jurisdictions, kind of a special subcommittee at this point that needs to be put into play, or a task force, if you will, to try to really address all of the things that are going to, how to deal with us at the county, how to deal with your own constituents, how to deal with the haulers, all of the things that are now coming forth. And I think that if we had, your executive committee with the steering task force of people that actually know this business and can help clean up where we are right now, that might be an option. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Charles, John Hammond.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just got to kind of weigh in a little bit too. Kind of like we do for the Nacimiento Water Project, we do have a technical group of staff that can meet. If every agency were to bring in an individual to sit on that group, we might be able to get some direction. I mean, I think also you as the chair could be the one source for putting out information and us responding back to you, just like we would do a city manager on one-on-one as direction, or at least making some sort of a input until we get back together as a next meeting. That might be another option. But to get that technical group together too, kind of like Don was saying, it would probably take some time.
Okay.
Is, if you look at the website, there is a technical group. We just don't, it just hasn't been activated right now, but IWMA has provided for that. It's on the website. I was looking at it this morning. So,
and the technical group has, I'm not sure if it actually called technical group, Patty, but you know, has been meeting with reps from the jurisdictions regarding the draft ordinances for implementing 1383, et cetera. But as we talk more about this, I kind of think what I'd like to do is have everybody, you know, think about this as we talk about the next two items, and let's come back to it. Because otherwise, I think we'll spend too much time on this issue, and then we might change our mind a little bit after talking about the other two issues. So with that, because like Dawn, some of her comments were really, more about agenda item 9. So if everybody's okay with it, I would like us to go ahead and, as I said, move 9 up ahead of 8, talk about 9, and then talk about 8, and then come back to this discussion. I just think that would be helpful. It might inform us better.
Charles, can I make a helpful, perhaps, suggestion? Would you be willing to open up what we've just discussed for public comment to see if there's any possible information that would allow us to think on?
Oh, you want to open it up now?
You could open it up both times. If you want us to think about it over the next couple of items, I didn't know if any other city staffs were online or...
Got it. Well, there might be some haulers or something. Okay, let's do that real quickly. This is an item we've added to the agenda as an emergency item based upon the resignation this morning of our interim executive director, discussion of how we fulfill that role. Do we have any member of the public who would like to make comment?
At this time, if a member of the audience would like to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button down at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. I have no public comment.
Okay, in that case, I'd like to go ahead and move along to item number 9. Obviously, we intended that Pablo would introduce this topic. I don't know, our substitute counsel might have comments on it, or Patty might, but I will tell you that I attended the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, and obviously all 5 supervisors did who are here on our board. And the board discussed whether or not to stay or withdraw from the IWMA and their options of either withdrawing or renegotiating, possibly renegotiating terms. After a long discussion, the board voted, and a number of speakers, including myself, the board voted 3-2 to direct their staff to withdraw from the IWMA. So good to see all 5 supervisors here today. I wasn't sure you would come. One of the questions that is an open question is, and I talked about this with Pablo this morning when he called me, is the JPA calls for, under withdrawal, under Section 13, that any party to the agreement may withdraw from the authority with 30 days notice and terminate its participation in this agreement by resolution of its governing body. In my recollection of the discussion, neither the county staff nor the supervisors ever mentioned the word resolution. Their intent was clear, but they never mentioned the word resolution. And I'm assuming, and I realize this might put the supervisors in a bit of a Brown Act issue if we get too deep in this subject with all 5 of them present, but that's for you to judge. I'm assuming that the Board of Supervisors will pursue a resolution to that effect, but absent such resolution, that we would take the board's action yesterday as a constructive intent to terminate their membership. And let's see what council has to say. Linda?
Just reviewing the joint powers agreement, I don't know that we have sufficient information from the county to decide what action to take. I think the action yesterday, since it didn't track the JPA agreement, we're going to need some type of follow-up. And even with that follow-up, there are still a lot of unanswered questions in terms of whether the withdrawals effective 30 days after the notice or at some other period of time. So there's a lot of unknowns. And, the board probably has the option to go one of 2 ways, to act affirmatively or to wait until it gets notice from the county. My recommendation would be to wait until it gets notice from the county. But
And you spoke with county council, someone at county council's office regarding that you know, resolution piece. And
yes, I talked with the county council this morning and asked if we would be getting an official notice per the joint powers agreement. And I was told that the matter was going back to the board for an official resolution. But that's the only information I got. I didn't get timing or, you know, what would happen in the meantime or if there were going to be additional asks in addition to that notice. And I'm not, you know, we just don't have enough information.
I think, you know, the board intention is clear. I mean, the appropriate methodology under the JPA is a resolution. And that as long as they clarify that in their, you know, next meeting, then there's no real mystery. If they didn't, then that would create sort of an ambiguity as to what their actual status is. The other open question, as you implied, was it says, you know, anybody, any jurisdiction can withdraw from the authority with 30 days notice. It doesn't indicate, though, you know, whether one could say, well, we want to withdraw effective January 1st or, you know, November 17th or what have you. The county would need to clarify that, although I wondered if your opinion is what that would call for, can a departing jurisdiction just establish a date? I would gather they probably could, but what is your opinion on that?
And that's directed at me, not the county, correct?
Correct, that's directed to you.
Honestly, I think we need to see the resolution and then respond to the resolution. And I just think it's impossible for this board to act without having an idea of what's in front of it.
Part of our, you know, this agenda item was to just discuss some of the implications of JPA membership or possible changes in JPA language, et cetera. I think we still discuss this item. We may not reach, you know, any definitive action. Jan? Jan?
Yes, I watched the Board of Supervisors meeting. I didn't attend in person. They were given two options by staff. One was to, option A was to withdraw from the IWMA. The other one was to negotiate with this body specifically see if there were any changes to the JPA that would in some way make the majority of the Board of Supervisors more comfortable about staying within the organization in order to better serve the public and also to be more thrifty because of economies of scale. The Board of Supervisors, a majority, decided not to negotiate. I would be vehemently opposed to any kind of change to the JPA at this point. I think we need to carry through with what we've got, get some concrete, get that resolution from the county. And one of the options that their consultant was talking about was to enter into negotiations with the remaining members of the IWMA in order to try to claw back some of the assets. And under the present JPA, they don't have the right to do that. The withdrawing members do not have the right to claim any assets. And I think that's very important in terms of the path going forward. So we can have our thoughts about what we would want to do to change the JPA, perhaps. And were Pavel still here, perhaps we would discuss it. But right now, I believe the proverbial line in the sand has been drawn by the majority of the Board of Supervisors, and it would be really bargaining against ourselves to in any way try to change the JPA as a body right now, because the supervisors, the majority of the supervisors, would try to create a situation with a changed JPA that would be more favorable to them clawing back assets. And in terms of the future and the financial viability of this organization, we need to be very conservative in terms of protecting the remaining jurisdictions financially and also in terms of service. We have a responsibility. So that's my point of view.
All right, thank you. You know, this agenda item was added in anticipation that there would be, you know, this discussion at the Board of Supervisors, that the report of their consultant would be out for public review, and it was forwarded to all 13 board members by Pavo. You know, part of the premise was to have a discussion whether or not the county elected to lead. So, you know, I think you, hopefully you all read the staff report, and want to make sure we have a discussion, because with the departure of the county, it may be a matter that, you know, perhaps some other jurisdictions might want to see, we might want to make some other changes to the JP. I don't know. To accommodate the others. By itself, the county leaving is just one agency. It obviously has substantial impacts, financial and operational. The county did not specifically address this. Their staff did not include it in their staff report or any discussion, didn't seek guidance on it. But there was mention at the end of the Board of Supervisors meeting about potentially, you know, inviting other cities to join them, which of course would mean them creating a new JPA, et cetera. But, you know, there are implications of that. So I'm not sure how far I want to carry the discussion. I certainly was open, and probably still would be, to negotiate, but I totally understand where Jan is coming from. I'm not sure who was first, Jeff or Keith. I'm going to say Keith on comments.
Myself here. Okay. Thank you. Jan, I really appreciate your comments. I think we still remain to be a JPA for those of us that have decided to stay and continue. The county has chosen to leave, and what that timing looks like is really out of our control. I would recommend that however we can do this is that our city managers for those remaining cities need to gather and discuss impacts for their individual cities. And I don't know how that, you know, we could share that individually for our own agencies and have those discussions early on to help provide some more overall direction. It does get a little more complicated as we try to figure out the finer details, but having those initial conversations with the remaining members that choose to stay, I think it has to happen at that level in order to get feedback, at least through our own city managers, so we can share it in this forum.
Before I go to Jeff, I'm going to comment on something Keith said, and that is, Keith, you said we don't have control over when the county leaves. You know, there becomes an issue, though, of the county saying they're leaving. We have to make plans. It impacts our budget, impacts our organization, impacts our functionality, impacts implementing 1383. And if the county leaves, you know, they take on the responsibility for performing all IWMA functions, you know, that have, or functions that have been performed by the IWMA that they're responsible for as a garbage authority. But, you know, we can't have an open-ended thing where the county goes, well, you know, we'll leave when we're ready. We'll leave when we're ready to stand up for other things. You know, they need to give us a date in my mind, and perhaps council might have a comment on that. And if they said, hey, we're leaving in 30 days, then we could agree to continue to provide service for a reasonable period of time. But we need a planning horizon as well, and not to be waiting upon the county. And Linda, I'm going to obviously scoot council up ahead of Jeff. Maybe I said something wrong.
No, you didn't. You just didn't ask for my comment. I think that there's going to be a legitimate question as to whether or not some of this wouldn't be potential litigation discussed in closed session without the presence of opposing parties, which that may be the county itself. Obviously, it has, as a board, and you know, not any individual on this call, but you know, is adverse at this point, sure, the IWMA, and so any decisions that are made could potentially have conflicts of interest. So, you know, there is a lot, that larger discussion, and it plays directly into what the question was who controls that timing? And that may be a subject of dispute as to who controls that, whether the IWMA can control that or whether it's completely within the county's control.
Right. Thank you, and very good points. And I assume your comments also pertain to any discussion regarding assets that Jan mentioned, you know, that sort of thing. Those could become points of discussion in a at least legally potentially adversarial relationship. So
yes,
and we can't get too far into that.
Right. And there have been disputes in the past from a legal arena on those issues. So
Right.
You know, we can't raise them right now, but there's the, you know, it's the elephant in the room right now.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, Jeff, and then John Hammond.
Thank you, Chair Burbo. Sorry you can't see me live, but I'm struggling with a Zoom background filter or whatever it is. Anyway, you're going to have to look at my picture. I viewed the meeting yesterday, and I spent most of the morning looking at the agenda here this morning, and it's unfortunate that this has become such a politicized issue. And in thinking about it and looking at this agenda, in my mind, 99% of the residents of this county care primarily about how much all this is going to cost them one way or another, regardless of how it's structured. I'm not sure that anybody cares. So what I'm looking for is financial information, which basically would outline if the JPA continued to exist and did mandates only in terms of economy of scale, does that make sense financially for all 13 members, or maybe not? What are the consequences if the JPA were to assume that responsibility only for six of the members? What would it cost? Discretionary programs. Is the HHW program discretionary? Is the educational outreach discretionary? I think these are all things that we need to look at and see with some kind of a matrix what it would cost with different numbers remaining and different members leaving. To me, at this point, it's all financial. It's absolutely all financial. What can we do working together to keep the rates down as low as we possibly can and meet the mandates? That's where I'm coming from. It's a little change of pace, but let's depoliticize this whole thing and talk about money, because that's what most people care about, what they have to pay when they get their trash bill.
I think that's a fair point. Thank you, Jeff. And we will, of course, be talking when we get to item eight. We will talk about some of those issues you brought up relative to the budget and relative to cost and what's discretionary. So let's go to John Hammond and followed by Karen Bright.
Thank you, Charles. Again, it definitely is unfortunate. I mean, I think I've said it to the board before, you know, that I'm never forget the way we got to this point with regard to votes made and reasons for whatever we are at this point now, but we are where we are. What I was going to say is maybe we could get one of the supervisors, maybe Len, to explain. I believe I saw yesterday that they had a time frame that they wished to leave. And I thought it was somewhere first quarter, April of next year. This is can't be done overnight, but I believe they laid out a schedule, or at least staff did. So maybe one of them could speak to that. And is that the intent that in departing, that it's going to take some time and that we could work together until that point? Same way with past roles, I believe we're going to be thinking about leaving at this point as well. Again, it's just something that is unfortunate. But at this point, I think we should ask one of the supervisors to kind of explain the agenda item or the motion that was made yesterday with regard to departure time.
You're correct. There was an outline. And Karen, you were next. But if Lynn, as the chair of the board, want to comment, I don't know how you feel about that from a having a discussion with all five supervisors present. I'm not sure how you feel about that. But
I saw Debbie raise her hand, and Debbie actually made the motion yesterday. So I'll let her explain what the motion was and what the vote was. And then there was a letter that went out yesterday evening, but she made the motion. So I'll go ahead and let her explain that.
I'd be happy to. The motion was very, very simple. Staff recommendation 2A. We had several recommendations. 2A, very simple, two words or three words, I guess, withdraw from the IWMA. That was the motion. So three supervisors voted for that motion, and then we will depend on our staff to implement that motion.
And John, thank you, Debbie. John Hammond did bring up a good point about there was a matrix set on the last page of the county as agenda item. And I see that the last item actually is formally notice IWMA of withdrawal. So
we did not include any of this text of all of that report this, you could do it this way, and here's a chart, and here's a timeline, and all those things. The motion was very simple, withdraw from the IWMA. So I'm sorry I can't give you any more information, but again, we'll depend on our staff to implement that motion.
All right, thank you. I think, you know, just the sense of ambiguity is the win. And I understand if you as the supervisors, you know, you've given staff clear direction in terms of intent, but, you know, there's process, and let's see how that plays out. I think in the near term, it'll be important to see what the board of supervisors does at its next meeting relative to this as you begin down that path. The only thing I would say from this board's perspective would be to not be left hanging in terms of timing. So, Karen, do you have comments?
Well, that's kind of changed my whole train of thought here. So here we are at item 9. So what are we trying, where are we trying to get to here with item 9 now, I guess, is my question.
Well, I think that's a fair question. And to be honest, I'm not totally sure given where we're at with the county and I. It certainly was a good idea to put it on the agenda to have a discussion about the implications of possible changes in JPA membership. As John Hammond mentioned, you know, there'd be a possibility that PASO would be willing to join the county if invited. But again, I mean, that involves the county not just leaving, but then creating a separate joint powers agreement.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you, I know that several small cities are banding together now to see what we have in common with our common carrier, our common hauler, for no other reason than just to see how we can continue on with the economy of scale. I do believe that there is at least 5 of us who do intend to continue on, mainly because I don't think many of us have been much involved in solid waste matters. We're all small cities and we've relied on the IWMA and the haulers to do that job for us. We don't have the staff, never have. I guess my big question at this point in time is, what would the IWMA look like without the county? Say without the county, without PASO, what would it look like? How would it operate? Would it be the same? Just smaller?
Well, I think, you know, had numerous conversations about this possibility with Brooks, with Pavo, with council. Certainly can't say I know the answer, but I mean, I think to a large degree, you know, if a jurisdiction leaves, the IWMA is intact and continues to perform the functions that it already performs for its remaining member agencies. The question is, you know, there's financial implications as to really to carry that out. There needs to be, of course, a agreement, perhaps on some policies, on how 1383 is implemented, that sort of thing, because, you know, beyond the issue of polystyrene, some of the supervisors raised concerns about certain aspects of how the IWMA operates. You know, the smaller body would have to continue to agree to keep working together, might want to make some minor changes. But by itself, yeah, it would just continue to function as long as it had the resources to continue to function. Mm-hmm. And as long as, you know, not too many other agencies decided to leave.
Yeah. If I could address that.
Keith had his hand up first.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's fine. Go ahead, Jan. I'll go next.
Oh, okay. Well, I've had talks with Cal Recycle, the State Department in charge of waste management. And they've said that there are counties that have smaller, authorities, such as what Karen Bright is talking about. you know, so we would carry on if we decide to do so. My concern is exactly what Linda Summers Smith brought up, which is the inherent conflict of interest of having the Board of Supervisors on this board, the whole Board of Supervisors on the IWMA board, for a period of time where I think there will be positioning and trying to in some way manipulate the people who still want to work together regionally and serve the public into some kind of position that would be adverse to our future. So, you know, basically, instead of having 13 members, we'd have 8 if everybody stuck with us and stuck together. And according to their MSW report, they only would be serving about 25%, 26% of the county population. In other words, Los Osos CSD plus the rural folks, we would be serving the rest of the constituency, which is, you know, the vast majority of the people who live in more urban areas in the cities and in the authorizations and in the CSDs and in the authorized districts. So we would still be serving the bulk of the people who live in the county. And they would just be, for some reason, only serving the people whom perhaps they regard as their base, who are in more rural situations. And I'm still exploring whether Los Osos CSD is authorized or capable of withdrawing from its present arrangement with the county. So, you know, it's really, the problem is, I think we need to give the Board of Supervisors a deadline. We need to say, for the good of the organization, we would like to have you withdraw by a certain date. And at least we can put that out there and tell them, you know, you've given us notice. We'd like you out of here by 30 days or 60 days or whatever. And put the responsibility back where it belongs, the people who made this really very bad decision.
Keith?
Thank you. And just in regards to Jan's comments, I had some other comments, but just in regards to what she had said, there is a concern of that voting issue of us trying to make substantial decisions on behalf of the ones that want to remain and still having the Board of Supervisors eligible to vote under the current conditions. So I do agree that we need some type of, we should at least identify an exit date, knowing that they want to leave. But I did have a question for legal. I believe that in the JPA, if a member were to leave, if it were a city, it wouldn't be as drastic. But when the county leaves, there's verbiage in there as to the makeup of the county as it represents the county entities on the board and how many have to be present. And so when they leave, does that change the construct of the JPA to where we now have to create a new standard for the remaining agencies, or can we just exist as we are moving forward? I'm not sure what that looks like, and I don't know if legal can answer that now.
From my perspective, I would think you would need to amend the JPA agreement with the vote of the people that remain on it. You would basically essentially cut out the county and its board members. And then, you know, you have one board member representing special districts. Maybe, you know, you have the authority at that point to enter into a new agreement or new terms. So your remaining members would determine your future.
And I would suggest once again that somehow we implement that process where our city managers that are remaining for the agencies that want to be involved have those discussions as to what that new JPA could look like in order to set us up for success moving forward and not delaying that action any further.
Right. I don't, you know, there are certain provisions in there that talk about, you know, you got to have a majority of supervisors, or you get, you know, you have a certain number of supervisors present to take action, that sort of stuff. Some of those would seem to me would become inoperative and not by themselves require a change in JPA language for the remaining parties. But there may very well be language in the JPA that would need to be changed with the departure of the county. And given that the JPA is 27 years old, there's nothing wrong with sitting down with all the jurisdictions that want to remain and say, what else we need to fix, update, make more clear, et cetera. Because, we were willing, I think, anyway, I certainly was willing to sit down with the county and negotiate changes in the JPA to get them to stay. It might, given the circumstances, it might be easier, necessary and easier to sit down with all the cities and negotiate changes in JPA language. I don't think that by itself would be something that would be in an adverse relationship with the county, though, but as far as having somebody sit down with the city managers, again, in the absence of an executive director, which we'll talk about, we'd have to figure out how to handle that if that were the case. But I think it's an interesting point. Does anybody else have any comment? Because, we didn't have to, agenda item 9 didn't call for any specific action. I think, in the near term, we can wait a little bit to see what the county is, at least their next meeting. I originally thought we might end up sending the county a letter saying, hey, what are you doing? When are you going to do it? That may not be necessary. Jeff, you had a comment.
I just wanted to say, Chair, there is a recommendation for item 9 at the end there, that the executive committee adopt a motion that the IWMA support meeting with county representatives in an ad hoc committee for discussions about possible changes. Does that seem premature? Is that something you think makes sense to move forward with at this point?
Well, no, it seems moot. That was placed in there as the executive committee, representing at least, three entities and trying to represent a board thought was that, hey, we're willing to, we the executive committee recommend that we as a body be willing to sit down and negotiate possible changes with the county in an attempt to come to something agreeable that would make the county want to stay. The county made their choice yesterday not to stay, and they were very clear about it, I thought, in terms of their spoken words, if not their exact precise action. Their intent was very clear. So, I look at that recommendation as a good idea that was made a moot point by the Board of Supervisors' action yesterday.
Okay, and then to follow up, I have a question for Linda Summers-Smith regarding Director Marks's suggestion that we specify a deadline for those who want to leave. Is that something we can legally do? Could we say 30 days and you need to leave, or how does that get handled?
I cannot find any direct authority for that right now based on the language of the JPA. And I'm just going to back up to the point before about, meeting with the county and the executive board to modify the JPA agreement. That can also be interpreted as meeting with the board to discuss the exit, right? And modification of the agreement to address the exit agreement. Because you're going to have some, either it's going to be somewhat akin to litigation, or you're going to have to come to some type of agreement on when they go, because your board needs some direction on, the 218 election that votes. It needs a lot of information on the budget, and you'll get to that later. And you can't just put that off. So if you could sit down with the county and at least come to some agreement on the exit, that's one way of going forward without spending more time in disagreement. But if that isn't what you want, then we discuss maybe more of this issue of conflict of interest and the board making the decision without the participation of the county.
So you go ahead, Jeff.
One more thing. I think the conflict of interest issue that Director Marks brought up is essential to get resolved. And I think we need to do all we can to move forward to allow those agencies who want to leave to have them leave, because we have a lot of business to take care of for the remaining agencies. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
So, Chair, Council, Linda, there, in terms of, Jeff pointed out, this recommendation, which I said is a moot point, but if we change that to say, recommend that we support meeting with county representatives for discussions about an exit plan, from county's exit plan from the JPA, I assume it would be appropriate for us to have such a meeting, but I'm not sure,
I don't know that you need to change the language itself at all. You don't need to change it to an exit. It still involves the JPA. The JPA has somewhat unclear on some of these issues. So the question would be to me to clarify them, you know, come to an understanding.
What I'm wondering here is, would it be appropriate then for, whether it be the executive committee or the, we delegate somebody, you know, I don't know, perhaps myself as the president of the board, but we delegate somebody or some bodies to be willing, ready, and able to meet with the county, whether that be a subcommittee of supervisors or the county staff, whatever, to talk over those issues of departure. And then if that doesn't work out, then maybe we come up with a different action at our next board meeting about, you know, trying to force some resolution or something. Jeff, you have your hand raised again. Belinda, do you comment on
that? You know, just one quick comment after this discussion. I think it's been very productive. I'm very optimistic about what's going to eventually come out of this process. I'd like to move it along. So I'd like to move that the executive committee of the IWMA meet with the county to discuss how the member agencies that want to leave can leave and how to expedite that process.
When we say the county, meet with the county, I'm not sure if that's, I think from our perspective, we'd be offering to meet with the county. I'm not sure if that's mm-hmm. county staff, you know, board members, what have you, but express our willingness to do it. Jan, you have a comment on a legal mind?
Yeah, I do. I think we would need to have information from staff, including county staff, regarding the whole, all the details. I would not contemplate a meeting where it's the executive committee and two of the board of supervisors who decided that they want to withdraw, but they haven't come up with a date. I don't think that would be very productive. And what we need, I mean, my thing is no changes to the JPA until after the county withdraws, so the remaining members can have a chance to start over and plan for the future. The other thing is that, let me just go back to my notes, sorry. Oh, we need to determine the impacts to each jurisdiction. And that hasn't been done yet. The supervisors, consultant and the supervisors are just pretending like that's a non-issue. Well, it's a big issue. It is, as Jeff Heller was saying, it's a financial issue. It's also a service issue. And in terms of meeting our reporting requirements. So, you know, I think it would make, I would like to see a meeting that would come after a letter that says, basically, you cannot hang us out to dry, you can't gaslight us, you can't, I mean, not in this language, but you can't just string us out forever, okay? In order to continue, we need to have a date certain and give them a deadline to come up with a date certain if we can't propose one. You know, I mean, are they able to just continue to participate in board meetings after having expressed really vehement hate actually for this organization and a wish to claw back as many of the assets as possible? It's not tenable to continue this present situation for a long time. So,
yeah, I understand that sentiment. I do think that our council has pointed out the idea that the JPA is not particularly clear on the withdrawal process beyond 30 days notice by resolution, by formal resolution. I note in that the last page of the county's report on this agenda item was a timeline, a draft timeline. And it said board update from consultant direction on how to proceed August 10th. That was yesterday and that occurred. August 11th, today, initiate asset negotiations. So I'm not aware of those negotiations beginning today, but, and I think what we're kind of somewhat struggling with because of the departure of Pablo is, not sure who's negotiating on either side of that equation, but that we you know, we're open to and would like to initiate kind of negotiations on the departure process. As far as sending a letter, I'm not sure who would draft that, whether it be me, the executive committee, council, or some of us, and we run it, we have a committee do it and run it by the council. Not sure what the letter exactly would say. I have an idea of what they're trying, what they're getting at. We're trying to say, hey, we got to have some definition here and not be hung out to dry, as you referred to it. So as I'm just trying to explore where we're going with this today, what if anything, we need to do today. So Jeff, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you so much. I would like to hear from Director Enns and Director Gibson.
Okay. Robert, do you want to start? Robert, are you there? I show him as present. Let's go ahead and skip.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. One is way back from the start. I think Patty can fill in here for a while till we can decide what we're going to do. Number two, Jeff, you brought up a good point about money. And it's not clear, at least in my understanding of the JPA, if the county pulls out, whether they can pull out, it specifically says they can't pull out the assets, but it does not even say that they can pull out the revenue stream that we currently have. Our money comes from tipping fees and hauler fees. And their share of that they contribute based on their population is about a little under $500,000. They're going to need 2.1 million to do what they're talking about. It's the way I read this consultant report. They're going to have to raise $1.6 million just to do what they're talking about doing. Jeff, you mentioned the ratepayers are the ones we should be looking out for. But I think we need to clarify, and maybe Linda Summersmith can tell me if the county pulls out, do they take our revenue stream with them, or does that stay with the IWMA?
Well, in terms of they have their own agreements with the haulers, I would assume, right? And so their revenue stream is going to stay with them. And when you say, I have to make, you know, a distinction between revenue and cash, and revenue stream. So whatever revenue comes in up to the day of withdrawal would be the IWMA's.
Okay.
For services after that point, they would go with the county. Okay. Yeah, if it has its process in place and it has to set this all up.
Okay. So, if the revenue streams goes with them, that makes ours short by about $498,000. And that's probably... That will not destroy the IWMA. We'll continue to operate. The other one was, so I wanted to make that clear that it, to me, it doesn't matter when the county decides to do what they want to do. We just go on doing business like we're doing business now. The most shocking part of what's going on here is, why did Pavel, what did he see that he decided he didn't want to have anything to do with this? And until somebody can answer that question, if Pablo's got a better offer somewhere, well, that's one thing. But if he saw something here that he says, I don't want to have anything to do with this, that's another thing. So an answer to that question might be entertaining. So I don't think we need to do anything except continue on like we're going, and one day the county's going to tell us what day they're going to pull out, and they're only going to walk away with $498,000. And I think we can easily recover from that and just go right on doing business. So that's my take on it, Jeff.
Thank you, Robert. Have some thoughts on that, but I think Mr. Heller specifically asked to hear from Mr. Gibson, although Mr. Gibson, of course, is only one of five supervisors, and you know, one in. So anyway, Mr. Gibson, did you care to comment?
Mr. Chairman, given the discussion and the unanswered question about our board's majority, decision yesterday. I'm not sure any supervisor has standing further to comment within this forum. I will only say, I will only observe the fact that in the discussion yesterday, the board majority trashed the reputation of this organization and by extension, other directors of this board. And that is, as I said yesterday, some of the most egregious error of governance that I've ever seen. So with that, I'm going to conclude my comments and await the determination of next steps.
Okay, Mr. Hammond, and then I have a comment about proceeding so we can move on. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Charles, I was just going to make a comment again. It sounds like, again, that we need to, as a IWMA agency, we need to get, we are a separate agency with members, and we as our legal counsel have to then determine, you know, what the procedure is for departure. I think that's really in our purview to move forward. And I would think that there should be a motion then to discuss about directing our legal staff to get into the weeds, so to speak, of what it takes, what we should be seeing, what the agreement should be, because it's new ground. We haven't been there before, but we are a legal agency with members. Having said that, also, every one of our members in this IWMA agency should be thinking on their own now, too, because we are, as a city, responsible to the state come January 1. So, again, we still have to take care of our particular agencies on our own if we have to. So that might be a separate thing to take back to discuss with our staff. But as of right now, with the decision of the county, I think it's up to this board and this agency then to make a determination on how that departure is going to happen. It might, again, include past roles as well, but we need to have defined procedures, which again, we apparently really don't have. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. One of the things I was going to point out to the board and kind of use this as a basis to try to move towards a resolution on this agenda item is, again, you know, in the Board of Supervisors, in the county's timeline says, you know, initiate asset negotiations and negotiate this and that and the other thing. To me, the question is when the county, because we've lost Pavo, we do have Patty here. When the county reaches out to, quote, negotiate, who do we want them to talk to? That's our question. You know, and to be honest, you know, our Jeff Minnery's on leave. I hope on medical leave. I hope he's coming back soon. You know, Linda is actually filling in for somebody else who's going to be filling in. We are organizationally, you know, in turmoil, to say the least. And the question is, if the county picks up the phone and calls, who do we as a board want? And they say, we want to meet. I'm not sure who the county's bringing to the meeting, whether there's any elected officials or it's just staff and council, perhaps. Who do we want to be in that meeting or on the other end of that phone call?
So, Charles, could I make a comment? This is Lynn.
Sure. Go ahead. Thank you.
So this is, I think, something right now that you have five members of the Board of Supervisors that are on this meeting right now. Right. And this is something that is going to come before our board, you know, in the near future, whether it be deadlines or whatever. So I think we, as members of the board, have to be careful what we say, and we don't violate the Brown Act right now in this meeting, because this is going to come before our board.
Right. I mentioned that at the beginning, that this might create Brown Act issues for you guys. I don't think it's a problem for you just to listen. It probably becomes a problem if more than two of you start.
Well, I think there are a lot of comments a lot of us would like to make right now, but I think we have to refrain from them, because I don't want to get our board in any problem with the Brown Act violation, since it's going to come before our board. But I certainly think, just my opinion here, direct them to county council for right now until you get an answer for that. I don't see why that would hurt doing that. You could direct them to the CAO or to county council. But I just feel like I'm being, you know, restrained and careful because I don't want to get any of us in trouble for a Brown Act violation since it will be coming before our board.
Totally understand. And that's why I mentioned that up front, that it might create some Brown Act, you know, discomfort for you guys.
So I would disagree with what Supervisor Gibson said. We don't have a right to speak now and should be shamed or whatever his comment was. That's not it. I'm cognizant of the fact that there could be Brown Act issues as we move forward.
I understand. I totally understand. What I was trying to get at though is not who to call on the county side. It's who does this board, the IWMA, and I, you know, given the circumstances, wanting to leave the county supervisors out of this discussion, perhaps, is who do we want from the IWMA to be going into, quote, negotiations, whether it's about assets or anything else, relative to departure with the county? Do we want that to be the executive committee? Do we want it to be me and Patty? Do we want that to be the executive committee? Do we want in council? Or what do we want? Who do we want that to be?
If I could address that just briefly, I think everything would have to be done in writing. So if the county board of supervisors came up with a proposal, it should be in writing. And then it seems to me it would be in contemplation of litigation. And we could go into closed session. And Linda Summersmith can tell me if I'm correct here, with Jeff Minery, Patty Taves, and the executive committee to review what it is they're proposing. The reason I think it's going to end up in litigation, or there's a big risk of that, is the degree of disrespect and anger that was expressed during the Board of Supervisors meeting, feels to me like there's not going to be a mutually collaborative kind of, like, it's not going to be a friendly divorce. I don't think so. You know, I'm very concerned about our board in any way starting to negotiate anything with the Board of Supervisors when they have just decided not to negotiate. So they decided not to negotiate and we're coming back and saying, oh, let's negotiate. They've already said they're not going to negotiate. So the only thing that we're talking about is the withdrawal process at this narrowly. And so I think it's up to the Board of Supervisors to make some kind of proposal with County Council, with their CAO, however they wish to do it.
Thank you, Jan. What I was getting at was that, you know, I kind of expected, you know, that after the Board of Supervisors' actions yesterday, that somebody at the county, perhaps Public Works Director and the County Council, would pick up the phone and call Pavo and say, hey, let's get together and talk. And then they would, you know, they would talk and then they would bring in electeds to, you know, to ratify policy possibilities. Of course, Pablo's not here. And Patty's great. She's a great technical person. That kind of stuff is, you know, probably much not what she has the most experience at. She could attempt to do that. So I'm just concerned that, you know, when they pick up that phone, then who are they going to find at our end of the line?
Wade Horton is out of town on military leave right now. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I understand. I obviously knew he wasn't there yesterday. So it's Navy Reserve time. So, but anyway, Jen, I don't, notwithstanding what was said yesterday and the tone it was set in, I don't see that we are necessarily, you know, on the path to an acrimonious divorce. You know, frankly, there aren't that many assets to split up. You know, I don't want to get into details on that, but from a practical standpoint, there certainly are other issues. They mostly revolve around timing. I don't see that this has to be acrimonious, notwithstanding some of the acrimonious language yesterday.
If I could address that, just to respond, I hope you're right. The question is, does the Board of Supervisors feel any kind of responsibility toward the jurisdictions and the rest of the members in the IWMA? Do they feel any kind of responsibility to in some way create a glide path that will help the situation? Or are they going to just say no?
Yeah.
You know, so to me, the County Board of Supervisors, they have a responsibility to this organization and to all of their constituents who live in cities and CSDs and authorized districts to help make this doable so that the remaining members can carry on.
Right.
And the Board of Supervisors can make their, a new bureaucracy and hire a lot of people and spend a lot of taxpayers' money duplicating what the IWMA does.
And they do, but they do also therefore have an incentive to not screw over the cities and the CSDs that make up a majority of their constituents. In other words, they don't have any incentive. I mean, I think they made the wrong choice, but they don't have any incentive to make this overly burdensome, destructive, or more disruptive than it has to be on the cities and those residents that make up the majority of their constituents. And I apologize, Supervisor, you can't comment back on that too much, but you created the situation, so you know you're gonna have to listen and not talk, I guess, for a bit. But the point being, yeah, I don't think there's any reason, notwithstanding the nature, tone of the language, that they would go out of their way to try to disrupt the IWMA any more than their action, you know, has to. In other words, it's not in their interest to make it hard on my city, you know, or your city or anything else. So hopefully I think it could be fairly smooth. And the burden, frankly, is on them. They have to recreate all the services that the IWMA provides. And that's going to be a pain in the ass to them. Their presumption is they can do it better. We continue to function. There's a lot of disruption to county residents because you have an HHW facility. It's going to say, I'm sorry, where do you live? No, you can't drop your stuff off. Okay. We're going to go to Karen Bright and John Hammond, but Linda, our counsel, has raised her hand, so I'm going to defer to her.
Well, I feel like we're all saying the same thing. How do we go forward? And so the question is, do you go forward with a negotiated meeting with the county? And if so, through whom? Or do you set an executive committee to go to the county? So, you know, at this point, I think you've narrowed it down to that. Certainly, whatever method you choose to discuss the withdrawal with the county doesn't work, then you can look to the litigation angle, right? Because that means everything fell apart and you weren't able to work it out. But I don't think we have to go there yet. So, you asked, when I talked to John on Salabahair, he indicated that Daniel Solich, I believe, is the county council that's been tasked with dealing with all these issues with regard to withdrawal. So it's probably appropriate to deal with him. I can reach out to him and see what the county proposes. You know, we don't have to give them a proposal. We can just say, give us what you propose, give it by this date, and then we can review it. But right now, just, you know, we're talking in circles and running out of time.
Okay. You're right. We need to move on. Karen, real quick, and then John, real quick, and then we just need to move on.
Like, I was just going to say, you were talking about who should be the contact. And I believe it should be our council, whoever our council is at the time. And basically, that's just what Linda Summersmith has said. So I agree with that. And so we can just move on from there, I guess.
John Hammond? John,
thank you, Charles. Yeah, thank you, Charles. But exactly what I was going to say with Linda. Again, we need to make a direction to our legal staff to get in contact with the county's legal staff, work out some sort of an agreement or departure, bring it back to the executive board, which then would share with the rest of the board information so that we can, if we have to have a special meeting, so be it. but get direction going between the two legal entities that are involved here. It's basically out of our hands as members who are still here. And actually the county is still a member as well. See, so again, it's I think at this point, to get it back to the legal end of things, legal staff have to get involved, county and our legal staff here at IWMA, make some sort of an agreement for departure, some sort of recommendation back to us to accept, and then move forward at this point. The only other thing I was going to mention, maybe, and I said it earlier, was that every agency should maybe have a member designated from their public works staff to get involved into this agency at this point with without an executive director. I think we need to get everybody up to speed pretty fast on what's going on. So I think that would be another recommendation that we might want to try and form with regard to each individual agency and membership of our IWA at this point. So just throwing it out.
Yeah, John, every agency has a designated person that's been working with Patty and with Rob Hilton, our consultant, on the draft model ordinances. So that kind of grouping in terms of identified parties from each jurisdiction does exist. And could be brought into discussions on that. Okay, so I think what I'm hearing is, you know, we want our council to work with county council. My concern is just that if our council needs any input or feedback, who they're going to get it from internally, if they need policy.
Mr. Hammond, are you making a motion to that effect?
I don't know if we need a motion, Jan, or just direction to staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, because it's something that they need to deal with, not us. And I think that would be our board's purview to direct staff to start making communications between themselves and bring it back for further discussion.
Okay. And Linda Summersmith, is Jeff Minnery out on medical leave or is he on vacation? Is he coming back to us or what?
He's on medical leave and we expect him to come back.
Okay. All righty. Do you know, have a timeline on that or any idea?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't think you did. Okay, thank you. So I support this idea that John has come up with, both concepts.
Okay. So, does anybody have any objection to that direction to staff? Jeff Heller, you had your hand raised.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd like to make a motion that our legal team contact the county legal team and ask them to propose a means of the agency's withdrawing.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Do we need a motion or are we just providing that?
No, I'd like them to take the first step and show us what they want.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to have a motion and I'll second it.
Okay. Can you restate the motion for the rest of the board before we vote on it?
Sure. I move that the IWMA council reach out to county council and ask the county council to submit language outlining how the member agencies that want to withdraw plan to withdraw.
Do you want a deadline on that?
How long do you think that might take?
Well, I think you need to set a deadline.
Okay. What's a reasonable time? Well,
when's your next board meeting?
Roughly a month from now. I mean, you know, it's the second Wednesday of the month.
I'd love to see it within 30 days.
Yeah, I think we should. That would be recommended.
Okay. We'll make that part of the motion.
So September 8th is the next board meeting. We would need to have it so we can post it by the 1st, I believe.
When is the next executive board meeting? They just changed the dates.
August 27th.
So could you have it to us? Could it be done by August 27th? I think that'd be great.
Okay, I will work on that.
Okay. If that's a motion, with Jan, you were seconding?
Yes.
Okay, then let's go ahead and vote on that motion.
Do we take a roll call vote before public comment?
Very good point, Cheryl. Thank you for catching that. Yes, let's make sure that we give the public a chance to comment on this item. Any public comment?
At this time, if a member of the comment wishes to make a comment, sorry, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. And if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I do have two comments. Eric Greening, it looks like you are running an earlier version of Zoom, so I'm going to have to promote you, Eric. Give me my timer.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Eric.
Yes, we can, Eric.
This is Eric Greening, and I am in support of the motion, but there was a suggestion made by Delegate Marks that I don't want to see get lost. I don't know if it needs formal action or what, but she made the point that it is not appropriate for this board, with its current makeup, to make any changes to the joint powers agreement until such changes can be made by whoever will be the board going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether Thank it's you. Part of the motion or not, I would not like to see that get lost. And the one thing that I don't quite agree with, and I think she may have retracted it, was the notion of sending a letter to the county. I think right now any letter would be based on hearsay. Mm-hmm. Until you get an actual document from the county, a resolution from the county in your hands, at that point a letter might be able to be considered. But at this point, I think having the legal staffs talk to each other and have a report back in your hands is probably the most appropriate way to go. And certainly everybody's kind of dealing with a lot of shocks now, and there are probably things we're overlooking or forgetting. But because of that, and because the emotions are high, the board will have to revisit this. It will be kind of like a second reading on the motion they passed yesterday, which was made, I think, on the presumption that they were going to be clawing back assets, which turns out not to be possible. I doubt that any of the votes to remove themselves will be changed by that fact, but because clearly what was said in the emotions are probably just leading to that separation. But in any event, I think things will be more clear after they meet on the 24th and clarify what they are seeking, and after the legal teams have spoken to each other. So that's what I urge. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And then you said there was another comment, Barbara?
Yes, I have one more comment. Give me one second. Scott Duffield, you should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let's go ahead. General Manager at Heritage Ranch.
I'm sorry, Scott.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to remind folks, I think I recall as being involved with a local task force that there was a question as to what would happen if the county were to withdraw from the IWMA. So I don't know if involved or if it's just a matter of the JPA or what, but it could still be something that we.
Well, I'm sorry, Scott, you are breaking up.
Out of that, sorry, I apologize for our connection up here, but here it is. What happens to the special districts when the county withdraws from IWMA?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that question. That is open aspects to that question. I don't think we can really address those adequately here today. Definitely an item of concern, though. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and proceed to a roll call vote on the motion.
Do we have any changes in the motion, or did it stay the same?
Yeah, I don't know if we included that we would like to have a response from our legal counsel and county counsel on or before the 27th of August.
That needs to be part of the motion.
Yeah, it needs to be part of the motion. That's what
I your motion, Jeff, so are you making that change?
Yeah.
Okay.
And discussion, Charles?
Sure, John, go ahead.
Yeah, the question of changing the JPA, we may have to. In other words, we're in an uncharted territory with regard to departure. So I would, if there's any discussion there about changing JPA, which should be restrictive to this item that we're talking about. I think that was probably more to the point that people were speaking to. If we have to change the JPA to reflect a departure path, then we should be able to do that.
Right, and there'd be, I think, ample time to discuss any changes that would be required as a result of that. So,
I think it also could be done through a memorandum of understanding or an MOA pursuant to the JPA. I personally don't want to open that up, and I don't really think that's part of the motion right now.
Right, I think it'll be time to address that.
Can we read the motion one more time, please?
Okay. Jeff, you want to restate your motion with the date specific added? Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. Can someone, can the clerk read it back? I'd like to hear how it's been recorded.
Okay. What do you have down, clerk of the board, as the motion?
I have that the IWMA legal counsel will meet with the county council to discuss the before August 27th to discuss the exit of the county from the IWMA.
Okay. Discuss the exit process, I think you might want to say.
The process.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If I could say, it's not just that they meet, it's that they also give this board something in writing about what the process is. It's not just that they're talking with each other, it's that they're actually providing a glide path about the next steps.
Exactly. We want to solicit a proposal from county legal staff.
That was my understanding.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Keep in mind, the county legal staff may not be prepared to go that far without further board guidance. But okay, I that's good. Keith, you had a comment?
I just had one perhaps add to this. Can we demand that we ask for an exit date at that time?
Well, yeah. We can request it. I don't know if we can demand it, but I think we could request a date certain as part of that process.
Okay, so I don't know if that would be part of the resolution. If you want to direct legal counsel after this motion to get back to you on that question, we can do that.
Okay.
But I don't think.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So, in clarity, that's not part of this motion.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are we ready for roll call, President?
Yes, we are.
Verbo? Okay, Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
I will abstain.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yeah, I'm going to abstain because I do not believe that the IWMA can dictate to the county a date certain time, but I will abstain because of that, and I guess our legal counsel will figure that out.
Okay, thank you for that vote. Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Abstain.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Guess we're abstaining.
Mr. Pichon? Mr. Pichon, you're on mute. Okay, I'm going to show Mr. Pichon absent for this vote. Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Bobo?
Yes, and We'll assume if Sean comes back on and confirms that he would want to abstain, we can reflect that in the record. Okay, let's move on to item number 8, which is discussion of our budget. Patty, I don't know if you wanted to discuss this. I know Pablo would have been the one to discuss this, but Patty, do you want to address this? You want me to introduce this?
Well, you've already introduced it, so we're good there. And I think that right now the board has given us a little bit of direction. I think that after this meeting, both you and or Charles and I need to sit down and really dial in what our big expenditures are and what the future, at least near-term future, looks like. And then we'll be able to get back to you all with some clarity.
Thank you. To reiterate, if anybody didn't read the report or read it a while back, what we have here is a significant budgetary problem. And that problem is really based on an erroneous assumption in our budget building, regarding the timing of the increased revenues based on the rate resolution that increased the rate on the garbage bills from 2% to 3.25% and raised the tipping fees, I think, from $3 to $4. And the erroneous assumption was that, this could go through a 218 process by 1 October. And that's not the case. There was considerable discussion about the 218 process. Council wrote in a memorandum in, kind of referring it to each jurisdiction to initiate a 218 process if they thought that was appropriate, for their jurisdiction. And but what's happened there is, in the meantime, we've had at least one jurisdiction, City of San Luis Obispo, come back with a specific request to delay the rate increase implementation because they do an annual 218 process in January, or that would go into effect in January. And that's their kind of policy, is to not do additional 218 notifications unless it is very substantial. So you already have one. Plus, I'm not aware, kind of asked this, I'm not aware that any relevant jurisdiction has agendized a 218 discussion regarding the rate increase, which is the first step to any jurisdiction going through the 218 process. So we have a budgetary problem in that our assumed revenues are not going to come in on the time frame expected, and therefore in the amount expected. So we have some reserves, but we had additional expenses anticipated because of implementing 1383. So we need to talk about what can we do to reduce some of our expenses that were in the budget. Part of our budget was that we weren't going to spend anything relative to physical plant, that is this the buildings here, or the main building that's owned by the IWM. We included some money in the budget, but we weren't going to expend any of that in the first half of the year. That would definitely need to be on hold. In terms of what our expenses primarily are, they're personnel. We have outreach and education. We have the household hazardous waste programs. And I'm probably missing something, but those are the big things that we spend money on. And of course, in the personnel arena, we authorized the hire. And I'll get to you, Debbie, I see your hand raised. We authorized, the hiring of Pablo as the interim person at the same salary rate as Mr. Steyer. That was at a total annual rate of $186,000. That is something, obviously, as we discuss that more in a moment, is something we could defer. The outreach and education, which is through science discovery, is something that could be reduced, and I'd like Patty to address that. And then the household hazardous waste process, which is primarily contracts, the cost of getting rid of the actual stuff, and then the cost of operating the sites a certain number of hours, a certain number of days at each location. Debbie, can you wait on your comment until Patty talks a little bit about the scope or and size of our education outreach comment?
Absolutely. Just okay. Sometime down the road, I had questions.
Okay, got it. Thank you. So Patty, can you talk a little bit about the size and scope of the Households Hazardous Waste Program and the outreach and education? We're not going to get into real weeds. I hope not to get into real weeds about talking about what can be cut. I just want you to kind of give perspective and scope to everybody.
Yeah, so a big portion of our outreach and education, as you guys know, is in two components. One is the school age education program, and that's just about $200,000 a year. And the rest actually comes into our SB 1383. It's the one-on-one team who are going into businesses, and that's about just over $400,000 a year. And I'm, you know, can boil down into that further if you like. And then when we go back to hazardous waste, it's a huge chunk. It's about $663,000, actually even a little bit more than that, for hazardous waste facilities management. Honestly, most of that is disposal. It's really expensive to dispose of these chemicals and manage these chemicals safely. So I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Okay. I think we'll go ahead and go to Debbie with your question or comments.
I feel bad, Linda, asking you questions when you're being so kind to fill in on our not so easy meeting. But I'll say that in our June meeting, June 9th, I believe it was, this body approved three separate resolutions, and one was an amendment to the JPA. And the next one was budget, adjusting the budget. And the last one was talked about raising the tipping fees to do that. But I went back and looked at the staff reports and it never talked about 218s. So I thought, well, huh. I mean, I guess I just didn't think too much about it, but I thought it must be similar to PG&E raising the rates where they go through a PUC process to get permission to do it. And then that's kind of a done deal. I thought it was not necessary, but I see now that we're talking about 218s, and that can be a pretty big hang up, because even if our member jurisdictions could all agree that we're just going to do it right away, we don't know what the outcome of a 218 is. You never know until it's over. So I'm just, I guess my question in all of this is simply, those three resolutions we passed on the 9th, I understand the first one has to go. The first resolution itself has amending the JPA has to go to every member jurisdiction for a vote, I think. Just tell me if I'm thinking wrong, because clearly I was wrong on that. The second one, though, changing the budget, did that one, I was under the assumption that did have to go through the jurisdictions to be approved by each membership jurisdiction, or no?
Well, I think there's an open question there. It's one of the issues I was looking at this morning because I thought it might come up in connection with the 218 study. I believe each one of your agencies has a direct contract with the haulers. And so the question is, if you impose it, will they impose it? And so I don't know who has to approve it. I don't know what your contracts say with your individual haulers.
From the standpoint, though, of it got approved by this board, the IWMA, but there must be precedent because the rates have increased before. It just happened, and I guess I didn't pay attention to every little detail. I just wondered if the member agencies, knowing that it affected them by virtue of having to, now I know, by having to run a 218 election on their own, I guess, if they have to approve the resolution first as a member, or if that resolution just comes kind of as a mandate by this body down to the individual jurisdiction.
Well, I think at this point it's a mandate, but I still think it's an open question. And I think that was one of the things Pavel was trying to resolve was, you know, how can we sort of bridge this gap on this 218 issue? Should IWMA take it back over and conduct the election? Does it have the authority to do that? Or not the election, but the notice? And or leave it back. So, you know, and I would have to look at that issue. I just don't think I can tell you right now that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me you're going to have to redo it, but I can't confirm that.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to say that Paavo indicated that he was going to negotiate and speak with each individual jurisdiction about this issue. And I'm wondering if perhaps this board could just tell everybody that we're going to not impose those fees until, say, January 1st. Just that date is the one that the city came up, my city came up with. But I think that might take some pressure off of the whole situation, because exactly what you were speaking about, Chair Barbeau, is that the cities have not agendized it. And given the timeline that's necessary in order to complete a 218, they have to have already agendized it, right? So could we just say we're going to put that back? And I know it will have budgetary consequences, but it will take some pressure off of the situation.
Well, I'm not sure how that takes pressure off the situation. I mean, it's a statement of reality that none of the jurisdictions are going to go through a 218 process prior to the 1st of October. That's kind of a statement of time, mm-hmm. you know, time and fact. I think, and it's a good question by Supervisor Arnold, but frankly, the whole thing's a confusing mess. And part of it is because it is not clear in this scenario who, you know, the IWMA has apparent legal authority to raise rates. The question is who, you know, impose them on haulers, you know, whom we don't have a direct contractual relationship with. So who should do the noticing, et cetera. And Mr. Minery, I believe, wrote a letter to all the jurisdictions kind of referring it to them to do a 218 as needed. And there are some places, I don't know of any of the cities, but there might be CSD. There's certain, I believe there are certainly some rural areas in the county, which might now be irrelevant, but where garbage service is not mandatory, it would, you know, it would not be an imposition, therefore not subject to a 218 vote. And so it was kind of, okay, everybody, IWMA raised the rates, please do the necessary notification and implement this. Paavo was reviewing this with council and with the cities in particular, I think, to determine whether or not we should, quote, bring that back and actually try to impose it more directly and run the whole 218 ourselves. So when I say it's confusing, it's like, in my mind, we don't have a clear legal answer other than the way we did it, which is we didn't have to get everybody to vote on the resolution, but we referred it out to all the cities, CSDs and county to act on. But right now nobody's, quote, acting on it. And what that means is every day that goes by is a day later when you can realistically expect the rate increase to generate revenue.
But I agree with that. But the question is, do we just like ignore it, or do we say, you know, given the present situation of the IWMA, we would like to let you know that this is being postponed. The rate increase is being postponed. It could be for 30 days, or, you know, otherwise it's, we're allowing confusion to just continue rather than being clear and straightforward, which is what the cities and the CSDs need. They need to know what's happening.
Rather than postpone it, though, I think, you know, Paavo was working on trying to work this through and work this out. With his absence, I would say I don't, and it's something Paavo had a lot of experience with his CSD experience, not something Patty has a lot of experience with. I think it's an area we might, you know, have to have the council more actively involved in trying to resolve. I don't mind saying, yeah, you got 30 more days because nobody's going to do it in the next 30 days, but I don't want to, in my mind, I don't see the advantage of extending it farther out. But Debbie? You're muted, Debbie. Debbie, you're muted.
Sorry. I thank you. I would just be interested in hearing how we figure this one out, because either we have a resolution passed by this body that, like Jan says, just is sort of sitting there. Do we retract it? Do we whatever the process is to continue on to actually fulfill what, since that resolution was already voted on, I'm still not sure if that resolution, which was resolution number 10, I think, if that on the agenda of June 9th, I think it was item number 10. Anyway, if that resolution needs to be visited by every jurisdiction to really be a finished product, a finished resolution that's a real deal, or if not, it just sits there and it wasn't completed anyways. But if so, if it's a completed resolution that was voted on by this body and doesn't have to go anywhere else to be considered a voted on action, then what do we do? Change it so to reflect the fact that there will be no action for a while? Or I just think it is very confusing, and I didn't know if it was like a real resolution, if we have to do something about it or just let it sit there quietly.
Well, in my terms, and the council can correct me if I'm wrong, it was voted on by this body. It was referred to the individual jurisdictions for action in terms of imposing the rate increase and going through a 218 process. And so I don't think we should withdraw it unless we have a definitive, replacement action that says, no, the IWMA will do this directly. And so what we were at the point of was essentially follow up by PABO to the individual jurisdictions of, hey, where are you? You know, where are you at? What can we do to help facilitate you moving along in the 218 process, if you're going to do a 218 process? So he was going to be speaking to city managers, city council, city attorneys, county council, et cetera. That's the path we were on, as I understood it, that's disrupted with his departure. But I don't think we should withdraw it unless we have a definitive replacement, would be my thought. And I don't know if council has thought on that. Mr. Heller and Wade, Barbara's weighing in on something. You have something on this relevant to the meeting, Barbara?
I was going to ask council. Okay. It seems to me that we can't really do much with anything with Prop 218 until we resolve the exit of those members that don't want to belong to the agency. At that point, the numbers will become real. And until we have those numbers, we can't do a Prop 218. So legally, I don't know the best thing to do, but it seems to me there's some things have to happen before we talk about moving Prop 218s along. That's all.
I'm not sure I follow that, in the sense that we know we needed a revenue increase to fund the 1383 implementation, additional staff hired to do that. We established a rate amount. That rate amount could be potentially off because of the impact, financial impact of the county leaving. But I don't follow that, why we would hold off. I mean, we know we need the revenue. We passed the rate increase. We referred it to the jurisdictions for action. It's a little confusing, but why would we want to hold off?
Well, I believe the rate increases have to be specific. I could be wrong, but they have to be specific. And if members leave the agency, those rate increases will change, I would think.
Well, they could. They could change going up. But they might not change for a year or 2 years or something, depending upon what other budgetary actions we take. So, I mean, an agency doesn't necessarily, withdraw a 218 action and say, well, let me go back to the drawing board, come up with a new number. And I would say that, I mean, this revenue picture will get pretty critical if we, decided to start over, if you will.
I could just add on that, I mean, what Linda Summersmith said earlier is that the revenue stream would go from the increases, and in general, the base as well as the increases would go with the county, if the county, as of the date that the county actually withdraws. So I don't see that as a problem. Addressing what Jeff Heller was saying, I don't see that as a problem. I think we can go ahead and proceed with the resolution. And what Paavo had said is that he was, I don't know if he communicated this to Patty or anybody, but is responding to member agency concerns. And he's been saying, feedback has been provided that an extension of time will be granted. So I don't know who he said that to. And then he is going to, he was saying that he needed to have the specific timing, formal granting of the extension, and then additional outreach and coordination with member agencies so that a more realistic understanding of implementation details and timing is known. So he was in the midst of that. I'm not sure if anybody else, I mean, I think we need to have some kind of an exit interview with Paavo about what to understand the status specifically of the budget stuff so that it's relevant to this item, you know, but I don't know how far he got with which districts.
Well, that's good point. I don't know how far he got with specific districts because he was reaching out to each one to talk about this issue. Part of your comments, Jano, referred specifically to the city of SLO, you know, wrote a specific letter, which you're aware of, you know, to Paavo, because the rate resolution said in it that, you know, jurisdiction could request an extension through the executive director of the IWMA. Mm-hmm. So SLO formally did that. They're the only one to have done so. He gave them some initial feedback that under the circumstances that it would likely their request for extension would be granted, probably because of the timing, and secondly, you know, not necessarily our place to impose a tight deadline on another jurisdiction. But I don't know where he was in terms of, you know, talking to all the other jurisdictions, but that's what he was in the process of doing, was reaching out to each one. The difference being that SLO submitted a formal letter saying, we can't do this in the timeline you're talking about. We need more time. In response to your comment regarding, you know, revenue, you know, the revenue in the county areas and where the county has hauler contracts outside of the cities and the CSDs with garbage power, it would no longer come to the IWMA. That's the relevant point. I'm not sure if it would just stop being collected until the county establishes its own set of fees or something. The relevant piece for our budget would be it would stop flowing to the IWMA because those haulers, let's say out in rural, you know, rural Creston or something, they're not going to be in our jurisdiction anymore. So they wouldn't be paying fees to us. Whether they automatically start paying to the county or not, I think that would be up to the county to establish, but it's also not relevant to our budget picture. But my take on it again is that, you know, Paavo was in this process. We're not sure where he was, but we kind of need to pick up and run with that process and not, in my mind, not just grant a carte blanche extension. But yeah, I'm certainly open to what other thoughts we have out there on the revenue side of this picture. And then we need to talk more about the expenditure side. Does anybody have any other comments or questions? Okay. Let's think where we're at on the revenue piece. In the absence of Paavo, Patty, I'm not sure how in tune you are with that issue and or whether we need to look to council to be making some of that coordination with where the jurisdictions are, like by reaching out to city attorneys.
Well, let me take and regroup with you after this meeting and talk to our new legal counsel, and we'll move forward from there.
Okay. All right. And so back on the expenditure piece, you gave us a little bit of relevant information on the size of the household hazardous waste program and the education program. And we don't want to get, I don't think we need to get too deep in the weeds, but there are areas that we could cut in those two things if necessary, right?
About that, I'm on mute. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. You mentioned that in the household hazardous waste program, most of the expenditure though is in the contract to dispose of the things, and our, you know, our residents still have the same volume of stuff. Even if we were to cut the hours, that would cut minimal cost, right? Because the most of the cost is in paying a contractor to physically take those hazardous waste items to their appropriate destination.
That's correct. About $575,000 alone goes for just disposal on that.
Okay.
We have about $62,000 goes for paying for e-waste collection in this county.
And then we pay about $34,000 right now to our haulers to collect oil.
Okay. And those are all required functions that we perform. And by required, I mean the state mandates we perform those functions in some way, shape, or form, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And then on the education piece, how much did you say that was? $400,000?
For the outreach team that goes door to door to help our businesses get in compliance with SB 1383 is about $411,000 right now.
When you say our outreach team, is that, I mean, I thought you and Kelly were doing a lot of that. Do we also have some people under contract?
You are correct on both points. Kelly, Emily, and even Cheryl are doing one-on-one outreach, either on the phone or directly walking in the front door of our small businesses, helping them get in compliance, as well as doing the edible food portion. We have 52 agreements that we need to get between our edible food generators and those who can collect them. This is a requirement by SB 1383. They're working heavily in that area. Then we have science discovery team. We have a team out in the field in each of our cities going door to door, working with individual businesses and multifamily complexes to get them into compliance with SB 1383.
And then we have on the science discovery piece, we have the education at the land, you know, where they invite the school kids and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right. We were estimating doing about between 600 to 800 classroom presentations this upcoming year and about 217 field trips. Now, those field trips could be to the material recovery facility, it could be to the landfills, and it could be to HZI. It could be in person or it could be virtual. Everything's kind of up in the air with COVID. So,
okay.
Patty,
okay.
Does HDI fund any of that?
No.
Okay. You know, the staff report that Pablo had prepared, you know, addressed that we've deferred the hiring of the vacant clerk of the board position, but correct. Also talking about potential reduction in consultant costs that we talked about here, and then reduction in household hazardous waste collection times. That would be the times hours of operation. Of course, where the big money is in the actual disposal contract. Does any other member of the board have questions regarding possible areas of reduction or comments?
I'm
sorry, Jen.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, I'll go real quick.
After you.
Thank you. I had a question. Do we know a dead set financial number we're trying to reach at this point? Does staff have the capability of coming back to us with some recommendations once we check in with the cities to get an idea of potential 218 processes? That seems to be the next step to determine when we may be possible see an increase, if that's a possibility, or just kind of to define the numbers a little bit more, because that wasn't mentioned in the staff report.
Yeah, we'd be happy to work on that. Yeah. If it be the desire of the board.
And I'm not sure what our timing is to get these numbers dead set.
You know, we don't, as far as I know, we don't have a specific deadline, but we don't have to do something today. We need to get some general guidance on what, you know, the feeling of the board is on what things might be able to be cut. And, but by next meeting, I think we need to be definitively talking about what we're cutting, and mm-hmm. that by then we bring back we ask staff to bring back, you know, some more, much more specific options about this is what we're gonna stop doing for a while, or, you know, or reduce for a while, that sort of thing. But to answer your question, Keith, I don't think we have to come up with a specific number today. Pablo might have been able to provide a specific number or a more specific number. Again, it's partially dependent on, as you indicate, you know, what we get back from the cities on where we are on the revenue side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would prefer to just defer to staff as far as their day-to-day operational expectations and things they feel they think they can cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comment by other board members?
Yeah, I just would like to say that going back to our earlier discussion, I think the budget is also going to have to be retooled and reexamined in light of the county's withdrawal, when that becomes an actuality. So it's not just a loss of revenue at that point, but it's also a reduction in our responsibilities, in that the scope of the communities we serve will be reduced by whatever the county actually takes. So, you know, so although it will mean that revenue will be reduced, it's possible that that could be offset to some extent by the fact that we will not be doing certain work that we would have done otherwise.
Well, so I think, Jan, you know, as I noted in my comments for the board yesterday, I mean, the cost structure is such though that it's hard to see that being significant. And that's part of the problem with there being a duplication.
Yeah. Well, it may be. It may be for Los Osos CSD. I'm not sure. But at any rate, I think I agree with what Keith Storton is saying. And it's a good direction to go. And then also we need to anticipate that sometime in the new year or February, something like that, that we will take another kind of a mid-year look at the budget at that point. So, you know, it's going to be really hard right now with all this uncertainty to actually look at a total year's budget. And we can do it, but with the knowledge that we're going to have to retool it once we know about the actual membership.
Okay, I would agree, but then should we proceed with the idea of having staff bring back at the next meeting review and come back with possible budget cuts
at the next meeting? Yeah, I think that's a perfect idea. It's great.
Okay. Does anybody other board member have further comments or questions on that? Okay, Jeff.
Just a general comment. I would like to thank Patty Taze for being here. You've been through a roller coaster. I feel so badly for you for what's going on. It's obviously a challenge for elected officials here, but it's got to be a real challenge for you. And I just want to thank you for your service to the organization and your persistence and, you're encouraged, and please hang in there.
You know, thank you very much. I just need to say that the team here is totally full steam ahead. They are not giving up. They're working hard and they're all in. And so we really care about this community and we really want to make it work. And we know we can do this.
Super. Please extend my appreciation to them as well.
Thank you.
And thank you, Patty, for those comments. Yes, because the staff is plugging along there. They're doing everything they can to make this all work out under, you know, what for them also has to be, you know, trying circumstances. With that, that's kind of general direction to staff. I think we can go back though to the question then of whether or not to pursue hiring of an interim executive director. And who do we want to deal with that? Whether that's the executive committee or others. You know, my thought from a budget, I have two thoughts on it. I'm certainly willing to attempt to find another interim executive director if that's what the rest of the board wants to do. My own thoughts are we were extremely lucky to find Mr. Ogren. He's left, you know, after yesterday, I believe the phrase toxic environment might have come into play. And he's gone. I'm not sure how successful, why we would have reason to expect we might be successful in attracting an interim person of even remotely comparable qualifications. We also have a budgetary issue to consider. You know, although if we expect Patty to do this, I think we'd have to have a perhaps an executive committee meeting to talk about, you know, some degree of fair compensation for additional responsibility. I'm open to any comments from the rest of the board regarding the issue of hiring seeking to hire a new interim executive director. Jeff.
Yes, Chair Borbo. I think we should definitely pursue finding somebody. I think Director N's question about an exit interview with Mr. Ogren on what drove him to leave so abruptly is appropriate, particularly if we're going to be looking for somebody else. I think there are people out there that are up for a challenge. Is the environment somewhat toxic? Yes, but there are people who don't mind wading into that. So I think we should, the executive committee should pursue that. In the interim, the executive committee should be giving whatever direction is necessary to Patty and staff. But that's my take on it.
Okay. Anybody else? Jan?
Yeah, I also think that Patty and the chair, if there's a need for some kind of technical expertise, should reach out to our consultant and see if that can really give Patty and staff the support they need in if a particular situation comes up. But I think at this point, just exploring, possibilities. And I guess the real question is, do we want to post a job description and go through the whole hiring process that we didn't do the last time? So I don't know. I'm open to going either way, and I'm willing to talk with possible candidates after I recover a little bit from the past 2 days. So
I was going to say, I don't think it's particularly feasible to involve the entire board in terms of an initial outreach and advertisement. But if anybody on the board has anybody who think they might be interested, we could run a brief advertisement. We could do that. I know some members of the board think that's at least the last time, thought that would have been a better way to go. If the board in general thinks we should pursue the idea of hiring an interim executive director, then I would guess that the executive committee would need to take it on, but with an idea of probably putting out some sort of announcement to try to cast the wider net. I think we looked at options in this last go around, thought we had an extremely good option. And so we didn't need to beat the bushes because timing was of the essence. I frankly I'm not particularly optimistic about success in that regard. Plus, I think we do have to think about our staff in terms of how many bosses are we going to put them through? So I totally understand the idea that maybe it's a good idea to try to find somebody. But I want to make sure everybody thinks that's realistic. So I see two hands, John Hammond and then Karen Bright.
Yeah, thanks, Charles. Again, if the IWMA is going to continue, definitely we need an executive director. I think we should move forward with a search at this point, put it out there, get it into that community. The consultants, work in this type of environment that know people. I would say that should be a direction of the board to, again, get that started. It's okay. Not going to be a short process. So I would make a motion to do that at this point, just to get something started. And if not that, then maybe an interim manager to help the office with regard to just the day-to-day workload. Patty would be, I'm sure, helpful to have some sort of help there as well. But at this point, definitely, I would think moving forward with a search is in order.
Okay. Thank you, John. Karen?
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, Robert. Karen?
Yeah, I'd like to second John Hammond's motion to move forward with the search.
Okay. We might want a little more specificity on that, John, because you didn't put that in the form of a motion, but I want to go to Karen and get her comments first, and then we'll address the motion.
Thank you. I don't know that I'm such a big fan of that idea right now. I think, though, really, I've not been that close to the action as you in the executive committee has been, and Patty as well. I do know, though, that it can be a very tenuous type of situation when you are bringing somebody new into an organization, when you do have some kind of a upheaval with your board, your council, whatever the governing body happens to be. And I am concerned about that situation that we have here. You know, it could make the person stronger. It could be a person who thrives in that kind of environment. I personally haven't seen that as being the general rule of thumb. So we're already floundering, and it just concerns me that if we start off that way, I'm just concerned that we could end up with what we've had happen already. We had what I thought was a good candidate, and he jumped ship. I mean, there's only so much that people can take, let's face it. So that is my concern. If we go out searching now, and we're still going through all this hubbub and all this baloney, all the shenanigans, we could end up, you know, running somebody else off. So I'd say, really, I believe it truly is really up to those who are in the trenches, because that's really who's going to have to deal with this. So on a day-to-day basis, my druthers would be no, not to do it right now. But so that's my piece on this issue. I appreciate you giving me the time to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think we might have, you know, different opinions and approaches on this. So I'm going to defer back to Mr. Hammond to kind of clarify his desire in a motion, and let Mr. Edmund and second that, and then we can have any further discussion and vote on it so we can move on. Thank you, though, Karen. John, do you want to clarify your thing in the form of a motion? John Hammond, are you there? If not, I think Jeff Haller had the same thought. John, are you there?
I don't see him, no.
Yeah, is anybody, let me scroll down the list over here.
He is there, and he's not on mute. Mr. Hammond?
Yeah, you're right.
Now he's on mute.
He shows as being, nope, he doesn't show muted over here. Names are bouncing around here. Robert, you were willing to second. Jeff, I think it was originally your thought and recommendation. Do one of you want to put this in the form of a motion? Jeff, go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm very thoughtful about Director Bright's comments. And so I would like to ask Patty how she feels about whether or not she executive director right away. Is there some way she can proceed for the next 90 days or whatever without that role? Obviously, the potential turmoil is there, but also, I don't know, we might have the capacity to not make an immediate change. And I tend to think that resolving the issues that we have relative to the exit of some of the jurisdictions is important, and we probably could find a much better candidate after that happens. So, Patty, what do you think?
At the risk of sounding selfish, I totally agree with you, Mr. Haller. I think that we have some budgetary concerns that we need to address first and foremost. Next, I think that the direction that the board has given us today to work legal counsel gives us some good guidelines and guardrails to go by that'll keep us in line. And I think that I do like the suggestion of going out to recruit a permanent executive director. I think it's very important. This agency is going to be moving forward in a strong way. So I'm open to suggestion.
So you're saying you think we should go out and look for someone right away?
I think that we should first and foremost look for a permanent executive director, but recognizing that that process is going to take a long time. It may take several months, given, like we all know, that we do have turmoil. I can't imagine anyone wanting to step into the position, not knowing who the members are or not, what's the issues moving forward. I mean, they'll want to come into the position and try to make a good impact and not fail. So again, we'd have to slow down that executive director search, really take our time to find the right person for the position,
You need to be somebody who is not afraid of controversy. As many board members have mentioned, we need to find somebody who's resilient, who has an incredibly thick skin, frankly, and somebody who really cares about this community. And I'm not saying that the other two executive directors or any past executive director has not cared for the community. I just, moving forward, it's going to be even more challenging.
Does anybody have any further comment? And we do need to distinguish in motion whether we're, you know, advertising. I see John Hammond is back, and whether we're talking about if we're going to advertise about a permanent or an interim situation. Okay, John.
Charles, John Hammond. Thanks. My phone just shut down on me here. I'm on a ship up in Washington, Olympic Peninsula. So I've got another city meeting here in a couple minutes at 4 o'clock, but I don't know what happened after I said that basically we should move that out. I think we were trying to form it into a motion. I would agree that somebody should make a motion then at this point to make that search, get that started, as Patty said, and move forward.
Yeah, I had just gone back to you. I was looking to go back to you to put your suggestion in the form of a motion. But I'm not sure if you heard the subsequent discussion. You heard Patty's comments. I would just ask you to clarify if you're making a motion that we advertise this position. Be clear, are we seeking an interim executive director, a permanent executive director, or an interim that could be, if they worked out, become an permanent?
Well, again, yes. I would, at this point, make a motion then for a permanent executive director for IWMA San Luis Obispo County, or actually San Luis Obispo at this point. With regard to, you know, language and where it goes from there, I would direct staff to get that started and, you know, report out.
Mm-hmm. And I believe Mr. Enns seconded that motion.
Yeah. Is that a motion good with you to second, Robert?
No, last time I thought John said something about an interim director, and the motion I just heard was for a permanent. So,
well, yes. Yeah, Robert, I think, again, if we're going to be an agency moving forward, that we should be in that mode to look for somebody permanent. And I would, again, if your concern is leadership in the interim between here and a time somebody gets on, that might be a lengthy time. That might be something we want to discuss. That's why I thought bringing back the technical staff to help IWMA staff from the 8-member agencies might be the fix in the interim, the band-aid, so to speak, to the point where we get us over to a permanent executive director take the helm.
Okay, my thought on that is that it's going to take some time. I know we went through this before when we hired Brooks, and I'm comfortable with Patty filling in the meantime, and I just heard her say she felt she could do that. And Jeff, that sort of agrees with, I think, what you suggested. So I'll second that motion to go out and look for a permanent, with the understanding that Patty then would have to be the interim director until we can get this thing into a permanent director's hand. And that's going to take getting it reorganized and get it back on the page. I agree with the comments that nobody's going to want to, you know, come in and take over a train wreck. So let's get this train back up on the track and then look for a permanent person. But I think Patty can help us get that squared away. So with that, I'll second the motion.
Okay. And we have a motion in a second. Jeff, you had comments on the motion.
So just so I'm clear, we're not going to look for an interim director, but we're going to look for a permanent director. In the meantime, Patty will work with staff and the executive committee to keep things rolling. Do I understand that correctly?
I would agree, but I wouldn't, Patty, call yourself as an interim at this point. I mean, you're staff working for the agency still, but and reporting out to the executive board at that point.
Yeah, in the absence of, you know, an executive director, interim or otherwise, Patty is the acting executive director.
Correct.
And
acting, not interim.
correct.
That's fine. Sorry.
Unless we decided to want to make her interim director. I think if this motion passes, we might want to empower the executive committee to discuss, you know, what we expect out of Patty, you know, and what we might want to do relative to compensation, because it would, as a minimum, if you're seeking a permanent person, it's a, you know, you're talking a 60 to 90 day process. I have some comments on this motion. I want to see if anybody else does. Jeff, your hand was raised first, followed by Karen.
Yeah, so I think if we go ahead with this motion, it should be amended to appoint Patty as acting director while we look for a permanent director.
I would agree with that, Jeff. Okay. Let's name it as acting director at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Joe Hammond.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's
okay with you, Robert, as the maker, or the second, rather. Okay, yes, Karen, you have comments?
Yes, thank you. Do you know how long it did take to find the last executive director?
I don't recall exactly. Maybe somebody else does. I was not on the executive committee at the time, so who originally interviewed him, and then it came to the full board. It was narrowed down to three, came to the full board. I don't know how long the full process took. Is anybody who was involved at the time, or Patty, do you remember?
It did take several months.
Yeah,
we went out through an executive recruiter. So you mean like 2 months, four months?
No, about 3 months.
It took
three months in total. Yeah.
3 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
3 months. I will have comments. Does anybody else have comments before I comment on the motion before we vote?
Also, we need to go to public comment, President Burbeau.
Excellent point, Cheryl. Why don't we do that now? Let's see if there's any public comment on this matter.
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, please hit the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press *9, and I do have one for public comment. Okay, Janine, you should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Board of Directors. I've been watching this with a bit of a horror and a shock. I have several comments, or some questions rather, when I weighed in on the issue of the billboards and then also the PSAs in the theaters, and whether those issues will be delayed or completely put in the wastebasket. The other thing that I have continued to raise is the issue of public information. The children's budget for school education is $200,000. And the public are not, the moms and dads that have children in schools, maybe they're getting the information, but they're not applying it. In my neighborhood, there's lots and lots of elderly in my neighborhood that don't have access to children's information. Young adults, people without children, they are not being reached. And I would like to see that this money is reallocated to reaching the real the adults that fill the bins. So those are my questions on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. We won't specifically answer those questions, but I would say that I believe our direction to staff to come back with possible budget cuts. While we only talked about some of the big items, I would expect that staff would address any possible cuts for consideration. Is that correct, Patty? Are you be able to do that?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you for that. Okay. If anybody else have any comments regarding the motion? If not, I have a comment, and then we'll vote. Anybody else? Okay. My comment is I think it's premature to try to hire a permanent executive director because of the circumstances that we're in, our turmoil, budgetary uncertainty, et cetera. We are unlikely to get a a best qualified field of candidates who, would want to take this on in light of our uncertainties, and that we would be better served by waiting and until our situation is a little more clarified and somebody would know what they're getting into. We go out, advertise, you could always find a great find, no doubt about it. So, and if we proceed with this motion, that's what we'll do. But I am concerned that now is not the time to try to seek a permanent person, because we might get a very limited field. And then there's the uncertainty itself of going on, with how long it's going to take to get somebody on board, and then what they'd be walking into, et cetera. So anyway, those are just my thoughts, but I totally respect the will of the board if colleagues believe differently. So we have a motion and a second. Let's call the roll.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Abstain.
Ms. Bright?
No.
Ms. Compton?
She's gone.
Okay, thank you. I will show her absent. Thank you for that. Mr. Gibson?
Abstain.
Mr. Heller?
No.
Ms. Marks? Ms. Marks, are you there with us?
Yes.
Thank you for that vote. Mr. Newton?
Yes, can you hear me? Yes.
Yes. Yes, I did get you. Thank you for that. Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg? Yes.
Abstain.
Mr. Pichong?
Abstain.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Burbeau?
No.
Okay, I have five yes. Three no, four abstain, and one absent.
Okay, I'm going to ask the council, that's, an unusual array of numbers for this organization. We have a full quorum of folks. We have
Mr. Burbeau, our quorum is that we need to have one voting member from the county.
Okay, that's a good point. That's what our JPA calls for. I appreciate very much the county supervisors staying with us and totally understand your abstentions. Would one of you care to vote one way or the other on this matter? Keeping in mind, we have a 5-3, and if I understood you correctly, clerk, we have a 5-3, 5-3-4 vote right now. Is that correct?
That's correct. 5-3-4 abstain, one absent.
Gotcha. So, I'm wanting to understand first from the council whether those majority vote in that circumstance is good. And if it is, I would point to the supervisors present that your vote would not change the outcome because it would either produce a 6-3 or a 5-4 situation. So first, council, can you answer the question of, is this a sufficient majority to proceed with the motion or to carry the motion?
Gosh, I don't know.
All right. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to ask one of the supervisors to weigh in. Keeping in mind, you're not affecting the outcome of the majority. You're not flipping the majority. We will make an assumption.
Charles, may I ask? Does there just have to be supervisors present to vote, or do we have to vote a yes or no? The abstention was not. There's nothing
excellent.
That probably goes.
That's an excellent question, Debbie. That's an excellent question.
So I can read to you section 8.5, which speaks to quorum and voting. For purpose of conducting business, there shall be present a quorum consisting of a majority of representatives, including one county representative. Each representative shall have one vote. No action shall be effective without the affirmative votes of a majority of those present.
Okay, so the phraseology is such that it implies that the supervisor must be present.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'll vote present if you'd like me to. I think I'll go back to my initial comments. As you know, I care very much about this agency as a matter of getting the job done for residents of this county. I think the actions of the board majority yesterday were horribly misguided. That said, I think there do remain unanswered questions about the propriety of any supervisor weighing in here. That we're even having this conversation is a measure of a serious problem. But the way I hear that, and I am not an attorney, is that we have at least one supervisor present. The eight other non-county supervisor members of this board have voted with us present. We've chosen not to contribute to the vote, but I think that's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. I agree that the wording says one county representative, you know, shall be present, a quorum consisting of a majority, including one county representative. You are indeed present. If present is a vote as well, I think that would fully do it. And I would say that is effective unless legal counsel tells us otherwise, but I think it's fairly clear that you only have to be here. And as long as nobody demands an 8-vote majority, we would be good to go.
Charles.
Go ahead.
Charles, I think their vote was to abstain. So basically, it is what it is.
Right? Yeah, exactly. They're here. So they have the opportunity to weigh in if desired. I think it was a great question, Debbie. Thank you for that. Alinda, do you have a comment?
Well, I didn't quite understand if Bruce was saying he'll vote to be present, but he's still abstaining on the issue. Is that it?
Council, thank you for that. That was
There's no prohibition in the city of San Luis Obispo. There's a prohibition on abstaining, but there's no such prohibition in our JPA. And so I think abstain can be considered a vote.
I just think Mr. Gibson was offering to use the phrase present.
I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just
because, as a board member. And that was slightly facetious. I believe the vote of abstain really is a matter of being present. I would differentiate that from recusing myself as we would under the normal provisions of the Fair Political Practices Act, which would have taken me out of this meeting completely. That's the way to resolve conflict mm-hmm,
right.
of interest.
So right.
I think so. The relevant thing is we have a quorum. You guys are here as part of that quorum. We've had a vote. You've abstained from the vote. We're good to go. And that's it. In essence, we have a 5-3-4 vote, which means the resolution passes unless somebody's demanding an 8-person majority. Okay. All right. So we will proceed to have staff begin a recruitment process. For a permanent executive director. And in the meantime, Patty is the acting executive director.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should address as part of that if we need to pay her some more. But we can do that. Yes, Jan.
Chair Brabo, John Hammond, I'm going to have to leave. We're picking our city manager right now, so I've got to depart the pattern on this one, please.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, John, for your participation, okay. Your comments, and
yep.
Your motion.
Sure.
And
right.
Participating while you're out there. Yes, Jan.
Yeah, I just like to say that I think it's important that the executive committee work with staff to look at the job description, to look at past job descriptions, and also the present job description. So, you know, that's a process, and it could be that you know, that there'll be a window. First, we have to do the job description. We have to advertise it. Then there's a window and there's a deadline. So to address Charles Barbeau's concerns, it is possible that by the time we actually are in an interview process, that the withdrawal by the county will have been resolved to an extent that the newly hired person has kind of a clean slate to begin with. So, and we have control over the timing of that process.
Okay, I understand. I would add, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times, but I think at our next meeting, I would like to discuss a potential compensation for Patty performing the duties of acting executive director. And that has to take place in an open discussion, be part of the agenda and for Brown Act purposes. And so count on seeing that probably on the next agenda for discussion. Okay, we're ready to move on to our next item, which was simply, I had mentioned last time about us having a discussion on returning to in-person meetings. My understanding is that, and I'm not sure if this has changed, now we might expect it to change, or that the governor's original executive order was to expire in the middle of September after our next meeting. So my anticipation would be that we would stick with this Zoom format of meetings for the September meeting, and maybe we talk about it then and not take any more time today to discuss it. Does anybody have any thoughts, comments?
President Verbeau, yes. Before we do that, we took action on an item that's not on the agenda, and I wanted council to clarify that we did that under that provision of this being an emergency.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to make sure we were
yes. good on that.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question and the clarification from council. Okay, does anybody have any comments or just want to wait to talk in September about our meeting format?
President Verbeau, a couple things. One, we've met a couple times with the executive committee in person, and that seemed to be agreeable. And I don't know, I find the Zoom meetings to be a little distant, but they're a lot easier to do. You don't have to go anywhere. So I'm up in the air about whether to do to go back or keep with Zoom.
Right. I think, I mean, like I said, I could wait till September. Karen, you have comments?
Thank you. I would prefer to stay, at least for now, as you suggested, with the Zoom meetings until we hear about this Delta variant and just kind of see where we're going with that. I mean, I'm fully vaccinated. However, my grandchildren are not. They're too young. So at least from my perspective, I would prefer to stick with this format at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you. And we definitely will through, for next meeting for September. So
okay.
Does anybody have any other comments on that? Okay. So because Jeff, do you have a comment?
Yeah, one last comment. Just FYI, City of Morro Bay is looking at a hybrid format for meetings because it gives flexibility to elected officials to not necessarily physically be at every meeting, which I think is a plus. Plus, there's the COVID issue, and I would like to extend the virtual meetings through September if possible. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think we'll do it for September, and then we can talk about some more. I think there are some advantages. But for our size board and where everybody's coming from, there's some disadvantages to going back in person. Right. We went back last night to Atascadero. We had 4 out of 5 of our council members present, most of our staff present. But anyway, we're all coming from the same city, and we're all and we all nicely fit behind our dais. So there are other issues for us to discuss in September on this. But for now, September, we'll be seeing everybody on Zoom again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then the last item is any member comments or suggestions for future agenda items. It's actually not the last item, so we do have a closed session. Does anybody have any other items they want to bring up for future agendas? Okay, blessedly not. Then we proceed to closed session. Our closed session is a conference with legal counsel on pending litigation regarding Knudsen versus Slo County IWMA. Do we have any public comment on that matter before we go into closed session?
This time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. There is nobody for public comment.
Okay, since there's nobody for public comment, we will proceed into closed session, which means I need any staff members. I only see, actually, I do see some others over here. So we need our staff members to drop off, council to stay on, and we will proceed to closed session in a moment.
Yeah, once everybody's out, I'll lock the meeting and give it over to you, Mr. Bobo.
Okay. Barbara will be the last one to leave. So let's see. Looks like, if I'm not mistaken, Barbara, you are the last staff member left.
Yeah, I'm kicking out attendees right now.
Oh, okay. You're kicking out public attendees that I can't see here. Gotcha. Yeah. Four of them. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, sorry. Just give me a couple of seconds.
Sure.
And I also need to stop the recording.
Right.
Recording stopped.
Okay.